It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Attention all campers.
Keith Murphy.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Andy Fails.
I'm telling you straight, it's my way or the highway.
I'm not talking about dance lessons.
We're talking about unchecked aggression here.
I'm talking about putting a brick through the other guy's windshield.
I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude.
I'm talking about taking it out and chopping it up.
Talking more than sports. Weekdays at 2.
Is this a... what day is this?
On 1460.
You're gonna heat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder.
KXNO.
Almost had you there for a second, didn't we? You thought for a second, you're like, no, that's not the Friday Open. That's it. Is it only Thursday? Have I been fooling myself all day? I thought it was Friday. It's Thursday. No. Oh, and then Andrew kicks in the Classic Open, and you know it's gotcha. A Friday. That's the worst. I mean, if you think you're a day ahead and it turns out you're a day behind, that is a killer.
Yeah, you had that a little bit yesterday off the air. You were like, hey, what are you doing for the games tomorrow?
Yeah, it felt like
I
Friday.
The kids, if you want to, I was like, man, there aren't any games tomorrow, man. That's 2 days from now.
You can't be letting it feel like Friday when it's Thursday, right? I mean, the best is when, you know, you're thinking it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, right?
Yeah,
so you're a full
right.
day, you've jumped ahead, you're a little closer to the weekend. But the other way, oh, man, that's terrible.
You also don't want to think it's Thursday when it's Friday because you don't fully enjoy the Friday. Like, you want to wake up and be like, it's Friday,
like,
baby.
Yes, it
here
is Friday. It is Friday, as a matter of fact. It's absolutely a Friday. It feels like a Friday. It's a good Friday. We got a good Saturday ahead of time. Ahead of us, we have great weather tonight, and we are going to just have an excellent weekend. It's going to start right now, or in the next 2 hours at least, we will ramp up to the weekend. Andy Fails, you heard Andrew Downs there, the fine producer of the Murph and Andy show. And Murph is still on his tough road trip right now. He is making his way back here. And so sitting in for him until Murph gets here, well, until the end of the show for sure, is Scott Sipker, who's in an hour early. So does it feel like 3 o'clock to you now, or does it feel like 2:05?
Are you asking me or the audience?
You.
Because I can
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, the audience would probably be like, oh,
please
no.
call in. Let us know. 284-5966. It feels like 2 to me because I'm sitting in this other chair. I'm not sitting in my normal guest chair. I'm sitting in Andy's chair, and Andy is sitting in Keith's chair. Now, Downs is consistent. But still, you know, it definitely is a little discombobulating, so it doesn't feel like 3 o'clock to me.
Murph, his tough road trip, hashtag tough trip, and we've had fun with this, hashtag tough trip. The tough trip was fully realized last night, and now, as he is still speeding back, went all the way there, pushed it, spent a bunch of money, waded through crowds, had a seat which appeared to me from the photo he sent me to be somewhere near the bathroom. It looked like it was way out. Did you see that picture, Andrew?
Yeah.
Did you
see
the picture, Scott?
Yes.
It looked like it was way out in the mezzanine.
Had to have
been
about as far back as you can get along the third baseline.
Yeah, yeah. In Wrigley Field, you go up to the top of the steps there, and then you just kind of go all the way back to the wall, and there's where the bathrooms were.
Right.
That's kind of where that picture looked like it was taken from. So maybe he was getting out of the bathroom, or maybe he was in his seat. I don't know. Either way, it was hard to see the field. Maybe that was a good thing because, as I think everybody knows, the Cubs fell, and they fell hard.
Hernandez with a fly ball to center field. That's well hit. Almora going back to the wall. He leaps, and it's gone. A home run. Kike Hernandez, a home run. And the Dodgers take a 2-0 lead. And a high fly ball to right center field. That one is well hit. That one's on its way and gone. A grand slam home run for Kike Hernandez. Oh, doctor. The Dodgers now lead it 7-0. Montgomery delivers. There's a fly ball to center field. It's on its way and it is gone.
Do we have to keep listening to this?
Oh, you want the full picture.
Kike Hernandez.
Come on.
A 2-run shot. It is 11-1. He is never going to have a night like this again. And few in baseball ever will.
Okay.
Kike Hernandez.
Jansen delivers.
Put a little salt in the wound here, isn't he?
Caught by Cole Wilberson. The Dodgers win. It's been 29 years. It's a very long time between then and now. The wait is over.
You have no
the
idea.
Dodgers are going back to the World Series.
Yeah, you've had to wait a whole 11 months, Scott. It's tough.
I know, it was tough.
Andrew cut that. I didn't do that.
That was,
I'm not rubbing salt in the wound. But that look, it was an 11-1 game. We were trying to mash it up, right?
Beat down.
It was. It was.
Do you think
slaughter.
That the focal point for the fulcrum tip for Keith Tripp from being good to terrible was on the Kiki Hernandez Grand Slam? Is that the moment?
Is that his nickname, Kike? That's how you how you abbreviate Enrique.
I guess,
you turn it to Kike.
The thing is, he's not a Cubs fan, right? Murph isn't. So actually, this is probably like one of the coolest games Murph will ever have been at. A guy hit 3 home runs in an NLCS game, and he watched the Dodgers go to the World Series for the first time since the '80s. I mean, as a neutral fan, that's as you'd rather have a close game. But for kind of the things that you saw that you can check off a bucket list of, I've been in the arena when this has happened, you don't get much better than watching a team punch its ticket to the World Series while a guy hits 3 home runs in a playoff
game. That is not why he went, though, to see that.
No, I'm just saying for him.
And agreed to the trip.
The person he was sitting next to, who we know and love as well.
Yeah, Heather and 5-0 wanted them to win.
She was probably miserable.
Who wasn't? That was, I mean, like right off the bat. Early on, the game was totally over.
Yeah, that Grand Slam was, that's when you knew the season was over for the Cubs. And that's when I tweeted out the question, what can Joe Maddon do to make this game fun? And had some people have some ideas, like have a pitcher throw underhand, like the Rookie of the Year. Or have put Schwarber at catcher. None of those things happened.
I thought build a glass case around whatever ball Schwarber hits next, no matter where it ends up.
And then it's just there at Wrigley Field just on the ground.
In the dirt.
A tripping hazard.
Yeah, I don't think that... the Dodgers need to be able to celebrate too, just like everybody else had to step aside and let the Cubs celebrate last year. The Dodgers, it is crazy that it's been that long since they have been to the World Series. I mean, they're the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's one of the most noteworthy professional sports teams in America. They spend a ton of money. They try really hard to win, buy some really expensive free agents. They've had a lot of great players. Up through their own system.
And what makes them different right now is just the youth they have that is just really contributing. It's so frustrating because, you know, I'm looking at the Cubs have a window here the next coming years. But when you look at the Astros, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, I mean, where are the Cubs going to fit in another World Series? I mean, it's really tough.
That's the thing, though. It's funny about baseball. You know, 5 years ago, talking about the Nationals when they didn't start Strasburg in it was a wild card game maybe or mm-hmm. something like that.
I remember well.
And, you know, they were talking, well, you know, he's early. I think he was a rookie. You know, you don't want to hurt him now.
I thought that was the dumbest decision.
And it's because that window closes so quickly. Yes. You're exactly right, Scott.
And here they are
even
in this
season. A year ago, it feels like the Cubs will never not win the World Series when they have this group together. And now you sit here and you say, well, they're not nearly as good as the Dodgers. They're probably not as good as the Yankees, who are getting better. The Astros, the Indians, there's a lot of young, good teams. The Nationals, I mean, they're
still there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that window closes quickly.
That window closes quickly, and you start to understand that you may have a good team. They may win the division. They may go to the NLCS, but you can tell that that's not a team that's going to win the World Series. You can just tell.
And
they're missing some key component, or there is some juggernaut team that's also in the playoffs, and you can just kind of see that they're either going to knock your team out or they're going all the way and they're going to win the World Series.
And it takes winning the whole thing to realize that, right? Because you've said that a handful of times about the Cardinals in the last, you know, however many years, where, yeah, they're good. They might win the division. They might make a run in the playoffs. This is not a World Series championship team.
We just went to the NLCS just year after year after year, and you could still tell that they had some component missing, right? And then the other thing is so strange is you'll think that this team that does make it into the playoffs is missing something. They didn't have a great regular season. They just barely made it in the playoffs. Well, and then that's the team that ends up winning the World Series.
And the Cubs have two big issues right now. Their bullpen, they're going to have to shore that up in the offseason here. But the more troublesome thing is just the disappearing act that the hitters did. Because you're not going to be replacing those guys, right? So that's a mental thing.
Very young. Yeah, they're stocked but, there. That leads us into a quickie poll. Let's get into that before we get any further into the show here, Andrew.
Yeah, KXNO.com, Murph and Andy show page, also on Twitter and Facebook across the Murph and Andy platforms. It is the WCI Pools and Spas quickie poll. Why didn't the Cubs reach the World Series? They didn't hit, they didn't pitch, or they're not good enough.
Hey, they're not good enough.
No.
They're not as good as the Dodgers.
That was so clear watching that series. They weren't. I don't even know if they're as good as the Nationals, but somehow they pulled that game five out.
That was grit. That was guys that had become playoff veterans.
But if that's a seven game series, the Cubs do not beat the Nationals. That they were rescued by a five game series, which is why I'm not so much four game or just five game series. I think you should have a seven game series, but it's just one of those things that the Cubs got farther than they should have this year.
Well, they clearly didn't hit. That is the top two are both right. I mean, they got, let's see, what did they have all together? I mean, CK Hernandez had almost as many runs driven in last night as the Cubs drove in that entire series.
I think
he had seven last night. I think they had eight the whole series.
Yeah, and that Rizzo and Bryant maybe only had one or two hits between the two of them.
Invisible. Yeah.
Crazy.
Right. Kyle Schwarber had a couple
of hits.
He had one home run.
With the bat flip, and that was about it. But
that's kind of the all or nothing. That's the problem with the all or nothing baseball formula that we have in this day and age, Major League Baseball, with all these home runs, is when they're flying out and you're connecting, great. You have a game like you had two nights ago where every run came on a solo home run. And when they're not, well, then there's nothing else.
The Cubs cannot manufacture runs. They can't do it right, or they couldn't do it. And I don't know, when you're struggling at bats, you're not going to win a game like that, especially against that type of pitching. And the old man in me just steps up when I see the shift on. You can't hit the damn ball, but the whole third base side is wide open. Just put a bunt down. You know, that's what the old guy says. Just bunt, for Christ's sake.
The old guy, the angry guy in the stands.
Yeah, just bunt.
Keep the score.
They're giving it to you because you can't hit it.
Well, so the Cubs are not going. The Dodgers are. The question is, who will they face? And the Yankees and Astros try to decide that tonight at 7. And I think everybody decided yesterday that the Astros was the team that they wanted to win there.
That was the quickie poll, yeah. They were the far and away winners of the quickie poll. Yeah, I want the Yankees.
If no Cubs, then who? And everybody's picking the Astros. You said it was because they were the least of three evils.
Yeah, I think
people
right?
felt strongly about the Dodgers.
Nobody
or strongly
hates
the about
Astros.
The Yankees. Well, yeah, nobody cares about
them. No, your feelings are indifferent to them.
They haven't
right?
even been in the American League long enough for their division rivals to hate them.
The tragedy of the hurricane maybe switches you to our
yeah, but the problem
the,
is
the
there were like a whole bunch of other hurricanes after that that hit other places just as hard or
well,
harder.
Well, if we're just going with population theory here, then you got to go with the Yankees, right? Because they're from New York.
I'd like to see the Yankees and Dodgers for old time's sake. Those were great series in the late 70s. I remember being a really little kid having those things on. Obviously, it's completely different now, but there's something about Yankees and Dodgers. It feels like that's a rising tide that would float all ships a little higher.
And it feels like a lot of the young stars in baseball. I mean, Yasiel Puig, I'm not a fan of his, but you have to like the way he plays the game. I mean, he's fun to watch. And then all the young stars, you know, Cody Bellinger on the Dodgers also. But
fantastic.
That guy, but he has the weirdest body. He's the guy who skips upper body day at the weight room, and he just does legs every single day.
That's a guy at the weight room right there, upper body guy. Or is he upper body guy, or is he skip lower body guy?
He's the opposite of skip lower body guy. Most guys in the gym, you'll see they're ripped up top. They have huge shoulders.
No, that's Cody Bellinger. I'm saying at the gym, the guy you're talking about, do you call him upper body guy, or do you call him skips lower body guy?
Skips legs day. That's what I call him.
Skips legs day. He's just got real skinny legs, and then he's just got like an anvil like from his waist on up. It's like a big V.
It's like Gene Chizik.
Yeah, Gene Chizik.
Yeah,
was Skip's lower body guy.
He is.
Some picture came out of him
just with the tiny little legs.
Yeah, he's just jacked in the arms like he's been lifting.
That's all he does, just biceps every day.
Gene Chizik is Skip's lower body guy. All right. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. It's Friday, so as always, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. We'll be making drinks here with Jason Garnett. Unless anybody's heard any word that Jason is going to be with us.
No. Scott and I are having a little nonverbal communication. You must not have the call screener up on your
I don't.
Computer.
I don't.
We got Anthony on the line who wanted to talk about the Cubs.
Anthony wants to talk about the Cubs. Anthony, you're on the Murph and Andy Show.
Thanks
talk
for holding
Cubs,
for four
please.
Minutes.
Didn't see
hey,
that.
How you guys doing this afternoon?
We're doing good.
We're doing great.
Well, I'm doing better after what happened from the Cubs last night. Speaking of the Cubs, you guys are right on one thing. They just never had anything going for them this year. But I think
the whole year?
Well, at the start of the year, they were kind of starting out slow. I figure that has something to do with the World Series hangover that they had. Now, here's a key guys they should have kept. I don't know if you can help me agree with this or not, but they should have kept Dexter Fowler, Aroldis Chapman, and Travis Wood.
Well, they didn't have a bottomless pit of money.
I got figures.
Those guys all signed lucrative deals elsewhere. The Cardinals gave Fowler way too much money, and Aroldis Chapman went to the Yankees. Which, if the Yankees are negotiating with somebody, you may as well kiss them goodbye.
Anthony, I'll go with you on Travis Wood, but Wade Davis blew one save all year, so I think letting Chapman go is fine. And then Albert Almora Jr. is a really young and upcoming talent. I think letting Dexter Fowler go, why at the beginning of the year, I think you're right, there was some adjustment period, but I think having Almora in there is going to pay dividends in the long run, but absolutely with Travis Wood.
And another question for you guys, what's the future going to be for the Cubs between now and the middle of December when the Major League Baseball winter meetings is going to come up? And I'll just hang
what's
up
the future?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, and Anthony,
bullpen. Yeah, they're going to sign some middle relievers. They'll probably try and get in another ace in there with Lackey going away, and they have to negotiate with Arrieta to decide if he's going to come back. Boy, did he make a case for coming back
Game four. They're going to pay a bunch of money. They're going to have to make some tough decisions. They've got some guys that are getting up into money years that aren't so young anymore, and it's going to get difficult for them. And they've traded away some prospects as well. Here's the bottom line. You can't win every year. You just can't.
Why not?
Repeating as champions in Major League Baseball is more difficult than it is in other sports. It just is. You have to have too many things go right at the same time. You have to have too many balls in the air simultaneously, and you have to hope that nobody else catches up to you. So what do? I mean, you learn to play better, manage better with the guys that you have, the guys you have in your system. You cast a few of them off. Maybe they are at the peak of their value, or they ask for too much money. You have to let those guys go and bring new guys in. And you never know, because the guys that end up replacing some of the guys that you just could not part with, they may end up being an even better fit. But it's hard. I mean, there's a reason why the Yankees are the only team that's had a repeat championship in any sort of recent history that I can
recall.
Yes,
it's probably the Twins, right? Didn't Twins
they never had a repeat. No,
they didn't go back to back?
Never. No, 87 and 91.
Your memory's better than mine.
Like the Big Red Machine, you would have teams that would go kind of every other year, the Giants, the Cardinals, teams that would, you know, they were there, they were competitive, they were in it. But as far as winning titles every year, it's really, really hard.
The Yankees three-peated.
About 15 years ago? Yeah,
98, 99, 2000. Before that, the Blue Jays in 92, 93.
That was a stacked team.
Before that, the Yankees in the 70s and the Big Red Machine.
So, yeah, just doesn't happen very often. It's really hard.
Yeah, over the course of 3 years, the Cubs, 3 NLCS, one pennant, one World Series.
They are on a very good run.
But you're right, like a guy like Schwarber, who everybody loves, but it's like you're going to have to part with guys like that to improve other parts of your team. I mean, he might bring a middle reliever that can really improve things where you don't need his bat necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to give you 28 to 30 home runs and, I don't know, hit 220 or something. I mean, that's kind of the way it looks.
Yeah, spend a month
and be a major liability in the outfield. or wherever you put him.
And look, the Cubs, I thought, were really classy last night, you know, tweeting out congratulations to the Dodgers. So I just want to keep it classy right now as a Cubs fan. And Downs, will you play the highlights from the Cardinals game last night?
You'll hear the sound of golf clubs swinging. Yeah, the Cardinals are saying, hey, Cubs, welcome to the golf course.
Man, I'd like to play with those guys. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
No kidding. They're doing all kinds of stuff. Yadier Molina got right on his horse and went down to Puerto Rico.
Good for him.
Started working. Yep, doing a lot of work down there. I imagine there will be a lot of that type of off-season work on Major League Puerto Ricans going down there to help out their country. It is time. Let's play a little Guess Who's Birthday, brought to you by Rockstar Satellite.
Go show it. It's your birthday. We're going to party.
All right, Scott, you're up. Guess Who's Birthday.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being a but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass hits like every single day.
That's Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yes, it is. Calvin Brodus.
Snoop is 53.
Snoop is 46.
Oh.
Andy, guess whose birthday?
Most of us were introduced to when for 9 seasons he played the floppy-haired, sardonic paper salesman Jim Halpert on The Office.
Krasinski is his last name. Is it Jim or John? Is it John?
John
Krasinski.
That's right.
John Krasinski.
Well done.
John Krasinski is 39.
He's 38, so you get the point. Well done.
He is my wife's, you know, one celebrity exception.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. That's your wife's hall pass?
She loves him so much.
Man.
The
which is really got to make you feel pretty good, well, right? That's a very normal-looking dude. Like, it's not Channing Tatum or Brad Pitt.
But does that make you feel better or worse?
Oh, because she thinks there's actually a chance.
Well, or it doesn't take that much.
It's like her bar is so low from marrying you that John Krasinski is her picture of manhood.
It's just a fantasy, yeah.
What makes this a little more awkward is that if I reach the dreams I want to achieve, like...
You'll be a contemporary.
She'll probably meet him. We maybe do a movie together.
Yeah, exactly. Out of reach.
Yeah, right. Isn't that? But I'm for
you
it.
You might actually run into him.
That is the plan. That is the plan. We'll negotiate afterwards.
Scott, guess whose birthday?
After spending 9 years as coach of the Boston Celtics, including leading them to an NBA championship, was introduced as the new Clippers head coach on June 26th.
Doc Rivers.
That's right.
Doc is, I'm going to say he's 53.
He's 56, so you missed that one as well. Man, Andy, guess whose birthday?
Her infamous sex tape with singer Ray J was leaked to the world just 8 months before the debut of her reality show, Keeping Up with the
Kim Kardashian.
That's right.
Have you ever seen that?
Sex tape
I've never,
Kardashian.
I've never seen it.
No, I haven't either.
I don't think so.
Says everyone.
Although I'm looking forward to the commercial break here. How old is Kim Kardashian? Kim Kardashian is 35.
She's 37, so it's a miss, but you still get the win.
That was not a great game. Hey,
baby, it was not a great game. It was not.
It was fun, though, which is what's most important.
You know what's more fun on Fridays? Drinking. I wasn't going to leave that one up. I just answered it right there. And Jason Garnett is in next. He's going to teach us a new cocktail from Juniper Moon. And chances are you'll have a free Friday night. And you can get down there and try it tonight.
Or go over to Andy's and he'll make it.
Yeah,
for
maybe
you.
I'll try to make it. Yeah, actually, I have plans tonight. Maybe I have a Halloween party to go to.
Oh, hey, we're going to have a Halloween party. We just decided next Saturday.
Are you going to have a party?
Yeah. You want to come?
Yeah. I mean, I'll have a costume.
Okay.
Already.
Great.
Put
you can
it on
wear
again.
I won't look at any photos.
It'll have to be one of those costume parties tonight where you don't just mess up your own costume. You have to preserve it for one more.
Andy, are you going with a slutty costume?
Yeah, you're
going
to tell us what you're dressing up as?
We're a mermaid and a sea captain or a seaman.
Which one are you?
I'm the seaman.
You're a sexy seaman?
I don't know about sexy.
You're really tall to be a seaman. You're way too tall to be on one of those vessels, man. Have you ever been on one? You're too tall.
This you would not fit on a battleship.
I would, like, no. Down below.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where you
I'm
live.
You're not going to.
You can't live above.
I'm an upper deck guy. There, I'm an upper decker.
That's where. Okay.
All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah. And before we go to break, this is the time we call out for the 3-point play to win that $30 gift card to Cryo Vitality, whole body cryotherapy at two locations, Clive and Ankeny. My good friend Vince Hassel, Dr. Vince Hassel, will advise you out there. You've probably seen it. You probably want to try it. You thought maybe that is right for me, but maybe you didn't want to dive all the way in. This is your perfect opportunity. Excellent for injuries, or just to promote good health, recovery from workouts, and also promotes better sleep as well.
And I don't think you need to sell anybody else. Our phone lines are already full.
Your chance to win coming up next on Murph and Andy.
For three. Oh! He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the three-point play.
Let's get right into it here, playing for the $30 gift card to Cryo Vitality, Clive and Ankeny. Let's start with Cole. Cole, you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Name the voice.
I love my teammates. That's the reason I told everybody with the tongue outside, you know. And everybody's happy to do that to me. And I want to say thank you to all my teammates.
Who's that?
Oof. Is that Javi Baez?
Not Javi Baez. Is it from last night?
Though? It was from last night. Javi was less happy last night.
Yeah, okay. There's a hint right there. How about Mike? Mike, you know who that is?
Oh, I don't. Escapes me.
I hope that nobody gets this right.
You
want
to play it again, or you just want me to tell you who it is? How about we play it again?
He doesn't know.
Right, I love my teammates. That's the reason
forget it. I dumped him. All right.
Brad, please don't get this.
See Andrew there? Okay. Brad, do you know who that is?
Kiki Hernandez.
It is not Kiki Hernandez, although that's a good guess, and you would think it is a good one. Okay, we're going to have to slow down a little bit here so Andrew can catch up. Steve is going to be our last hope, and then we got to wait a second. Steve, can you tell me who that is?
That is Yasiel Puig.
It is Yasiel Puig. Good pull. Let's move on to the artist. Name the artist.
I'm going to live where the green grass grows, watching my corn pop up in rows. Every night be tucked in close to you.
Oh, my God. No, I don't know that crap.
I wish we could give it to Steve. I wish.
If that was the final answer, that I'd have given it to him. We'd have done it just out of spirit. How about Joe? We've got two Joes here. Joe, number one.
Or whoever's going to talk
right
now.
Whoever talks first, you're the first Joe. Tim McGraw's right. Okay. You're one step away from winning. Name the movie.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Apollo 13?
Word to your mother.
Let's hear it for Joe number two. Good job, Joe. Stay on the line there. Andrew will get your information from you.
Apollo 13's a great movie.
Yes.
I just want to give a shout out quickly to Ron Howard, a master director who was able in that movie to make you be in suspense, even though you knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, knew what happened.
He even shows it to you in the movie, does foreshadowing, and yet you still are on the edge of your seat. Bravo.
I am sure that he appreciates that shout out.
And a great voiceover. A narrator. Yeah.
Arrested Development, he does a really good job.
Brilliant.
And very good as Opie.
That voice is Jason Garnett from Juniper Moon. He is here with us now, and he's going to talk a little bit about a cocktail that is gonna be a curveball for a lot of people.
It is
for me. I have no idea what it's going to take.
Already.
Speaking of curveball, did you see the Cubs last night? Now
they didn't see the curveball.
Yeah. Did you tell me how you came up with this idea today?
Well, this is a very classic drink from Spain, and it's one that's going to seem very counterintuitive to a lot of our listening audience, but I think it's a great drink for the fall. It's probably traditionally drank in the summer, but there's a lot of just kind of fall flavors that are in it, and certainly you can spice it up with different syrups or different liqueurs. But we're just going to do the very basic interpretation of it, and it's called Calimocho, K-A-L-I-M-O-T-X-O. And the T-X is a cho sound, so Calimocho. And it's basically a poor man's sangria. So over in Spain, especially in the Basque region, this is like what the kids drink and what a lot of people drink. And the you know, the tourists drink sangria. The people native there are drinking probably Calimochos more times than not.
Okay, so, and we are accustomed to you really spinning some complicated drinks here in the studio. You bring all kinds of ingredients. Yes. This time, you don't have many. It looks like you got three
ingredients.
This is
easy. I want to do a drink that is great for the fall, especially kind of warm fall weather, like great for the patio. Maybe you don't want to drink a ton of alcohol, and it's a wine-based cocktail, so kind of a lower ABV for people. And it's fantastic, and it's one of those. It's still we love it because it's weird and it's not what people expect. And so we love to change people's perceptions on flavors and combinations. So
okay,
this is one.
So you have what looks to me like a bottle of red wine,
correct,
a bottle of Coca-Cola, and some lemons. Is that right?
That's it.
And that's it.
It really,
and
can
those
be,
go well together.
It just can be two things. It can be Calimocho is traditionally red wine and Coca-Cola.
How in the world does somebody come up with that idea? Is that somebody that just spills
out
one into the other and then they end up, the hell with it, I'm just going to drink it?
I think out of necessity.
Hey, this isn't bad. What do you mean out of necessity?
They had to
drink Coke and wine together?
You have a lot of the youth over there that really go out of their way to get alcohol and that...
They're going to the movie, they get a Coke, and they've only got a bottle of wine to put in it.
I'm sure they serve red wine there too. But I think it's to stretch the wine, and it's to stretch... So they'll actually combine it in these plastic liter bottles, and they'll have one that's half full of wine and one that's half full of Coke, or one empty one, and they'll put half and half in it, and they'll pass it around.
That is really strange.
Yep.
It is really strange. It's an odd concept to me. It's like my dad insisting that peanut butter, mayonnaise, and tomato sandwiches are good.
That doesn't sound bad.
It sounds terrible to me, but it tastes all right. It's just one of those things that... In your head is not right, but
like peanut butter on a burger, fried egg on a burger.
Yeah.
Those don't seem like they would go, and they're beautiful.
Apparently, they do. All right. Well, let's mix it up here.
Right.
Jason Garnett gonna mix up the Calimocho.
I brought one for Andrew as well today.
You did?
Yeah. Andrew always gets forgotten, so it's really nice of you.
Shawnee Jenks and I were just back here talking about, you know, everybody forgets to bring us gifts as the producers. Everybody brings, like, you know, two bags worth of stuff for you guys. It's cool.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm sorry.
I get it.
Yeah. Jim the Liquor King just stopped over
Your mics wouldn't turn on if I didn't turn them on.
That's right.
But
that's all.
Yeah, you know, that's it.
Somebody has to be the steady hand that guides the ship.
He's the guy behind the guy.
See, that's why Jason's a great bartender. He's just got these witty one-liners. While he's working, he can just chime in and make our world a little bit better.
Jim the Liquor King, the manager of the Hy-Vee liquor store over at 86th and Douglas in Urbandale stopped by with a gift bag of swag for Murph and for me, thanking us for helping him. What, I guess we just tweeted out a couple of things about their sale last week.
Yeah, all I did was drop $150.
Me too.
That's a good deal, an embarrassing amount of money over there.
It was so cheap. Yeah, I mean, they had bottles of Maker's Mark for $17.
I didn't hear about it from you guys, but I had people on my Facebook feed commenting on the posting about the sale over there, so it must have been a big deal.
I guess that is, what do they call that, a loss leader or something? When you maybe they don't make any money on those specific things on sale, but people end up buying a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, the place was packed.
Oh, my God.
Just
I was there
nuts.
Like 10 a.m., and it was a zoo.
People spilling all the way out into the grocery store, just people, big, huge carts just full of booze.
They had like temporary registers set up so they could get people through quicker.
Did that?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Anyway, I guess that went pretty well for Jim the Liquor King. So he brought over some swag. There's a Tito's hat. Can you imagine? One of the kids wears this to school.
A
Tito's vodka stocking cap.
I have two of those hats, and my son wanted to wear it to school one day, and I'm like, no, we're not going to do that.
Tito's handmade. It looks like a Valley Tigers hat.
Oh, I was going to say Carroll Tigers.
Carroll Tigers. Yeah, you wear that to school. Whoops, that's the wrong black and orange hat there, Johnny.
I remember when we were in high school, Californication, that song was big, and a kid wore Red Hot Chili Peppers Californication shirt. And it just caused a big uproar because he would not turn it inside out. He was worn.
Because fornication, people don't.
Right. He was like, there's nothing wrong with this. It says Californication. And that guy eventually lost that
shirt. Isn't like the fornication, though, part highlighted?
At that point, it wasn't important for him.
Well, even if it is, that's like the least offensive way you can possibly say that word. Like, there are ways to say that word that we would get fired if we said them right now. There are ways to say them that you might want to cover your 3-year-old's ears. And then you could just say fornication. Like, that's That's like getting mad at... I mean, that's by far the least offensive way to say that word.
I think I'm going to take it. I think I got one that's a little less offensive. You ready? Amorous activities. How about that?
California amorous activities.
A shirt that said intercourse.
Yeah. Doesn't quite work, does it?
Something like that.
You see, intercourse even sounds dirty.
That totally does.
How about quitisfornia?
Quitisfornia.
Are you not knowing that, Drake? How long does this take you?
It's a family show, man.
Jason is done with all three drinks right now. That is the fastest you have ever made three drinks.
There was hardly any noise.
Okay, so now that looks like a purple iced tea right now.
Yeah.
And let's have at it. Let's try this stuff. Here we go.
I'll walk over
to
you,
Jason.
What is
it, Calimocho, right?
Calimocho.
Okay, this is red wine mixed with Coca-Cola with a squeeze of lemon on the top. I have no idea. Mm.
This is a Spain classic. Spain,
Basque, originated in the Basque region.
Mm.
It definitely tastes like red wine. It tastes the red. There's a lot of red wine in there. You feel most...
There's about 4 ounces of red wine and... Mm. Probably about 3 ounces of Coke.
Now, kids over there in Spain drink this?
Yeah, I don't know how young, but hopefully not the ones wearing Californication t-shirts to school.
Esto es realmente bueno, sencillo, delicioso.
Sí, gracias.
Gracias.
You were just humoring him there, I think.
Sí.
I just said this is really good. All right. I said it's really good.
Do men ever order this?
Yes. Well, you know, they have...
He's having trouble wrapping his head around this thing.
It's not bad. I wouldn't say
Andy es un idiota.
When you think about Spain, they have vermouth bars over there. So there'll be bars that just serve vermouth on the rocks. So
that sounds disgusting.
There's a lot of drinking...
Like
low
sweet
ABV.
Or dry or just sweet? Sweet vermouth.
Sweet vermouth. All sorts of vermouths. I mean, even some of the dry vermouths are beautiful.
Are you supposed to taste more of the Coca-Cola? Because I'm just really kind of getting a light,
it's like
crisp,
a fizzy wine.
Wine. Is that the intention?
Just, yeah, it's kind of a sweetened up version. It's a kind of what sangria is. Sangria, you're supposed to taste the wine, but it's sweetened up with fruit juice and there's, you know, there's liquor usually in sangria.
So could you make like a cheap version of this with like Boone's Farm and RC?
Yeah, for sure. Dr.
Ivy Cola.
Jolt and White Zinfandel.
I think it would be even better with Dr. Pepper, but I want to be...
Dr. Pepper. Yeah, you want to be authentic.
I
want to
be authentic.
Yeah.
Jason,
it's not bad.
This is an age-old question for me. This is in general. This drink has this. It has a straw, but it also obviously has a brim in which you could drink from.
Sure.
When you have a straw, are you supposed to use it, or
yeah,
is it
yeah,
just
yeah,
a
that's
garnish?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think...
Or do you, the expert bartenders at Juniper Moon... Do you secretly laugh at men who drink out of the straw?
No, we don't. I mean, I don't have enough time to really... I mean, there's so many other things to laugh about people.
I so don't care about you.
So what, straw or no straw?
I mean, straw or no straw?
If it has a straw, usually has a straw because there's a mixture of ingredients that we haven't mixed up. We poured something and put a straw on it. I mean, we'll put straws in our old fashions. That's mainly so people can kind of stir it up on their own. I would think generally they're supposed to be drank out of the rim of the glass. And certainly there are drinks that we mix up, we shake, and we pour that we don't serve a straw with because there might be aromatic things that we want on top of the drink.
You don't want you stirring it up.
Right. We want you to taste those or to smell those as you drink it.
So then the straw seems to always like want to try and poke me in the eye.
Yeah, sure. Do you bend it over the
brim?
Yeah,
this is
a pull it out.
Try to drink around it.
I think you get a colder drink by... getting your mouth on the glass than the straw. But the straw I brought, if you notice, is a kind of a wide mouth straw, so you definitely get a good pull off of that.
I'm just not quite sure what we're talking about anymore.
Pull on this drink here. Okay.
Let her rip.
And when there's a garnish, like this one has a lemon, are you supposed to leave it there? Are you supposed to squeeze it in whatever it is? What are you supposed to
squeeze,
do with the garnish?
I squeezed the lemon already in there, so this is just acting as a garnish because I didn't know if you guys would squeeze it and throw it in there. So this is just acting as a garnish. But yeah, if there's one on there, sometimes people set them off to the side. They don't want them. And other times they're there so you can, like a gin and tonic always has a lime serve with it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to get squeezed and put in there.
I squeezed the lemon this time. I did.
Oh, I didn't. Let me try that.
The Calimocho.
Cali Mocho.
Served at Juniper Moon. You guys kicking it tonight. Any anything going on over there special as you ramp up toward Halloween?
No. You know, our patio is still rocking. And it's
still open. Okay, yeah, it'll be 78 degrees.
It's a beautiful time to get out in our patio, order some pizza from Gusto. And, yeah, we've got a new menu coming up. And so that may be done by next week, so we can bring in some of our new cocktails from that. So we've got some really fun,
looking forward to that
stuff.
Fall, some fall cocktails.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, that's a good time.
It's always a fun time to work on making lots of drinks and
change it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Jason Garnett, always good to see you, man.
Thank you
so much for
appreciate
the Cali Mocho. You can try that at Juniper Moon, just down on Ingersoll, not very far from here at all. When we come back in the Murph and Andy Show, it's time to throw it down.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Andy. Iowa and Iowa State both sit at 4-2 with six games remaining. Both hit the road tomorrow for what feel like very important games. For which team is getting a win tomorrow more important, Iowa or Iowa State?
Hey, football.
Yeah,
we're
going to
talk some college football today. That's a good idea. We should do that an hour or two for sure. You're right. I mean, their seasons, you could argue that they kind of hinge on these games tomorrow. They're both really important. Just for the fact that Iowa State has not been there, doesn't get this opportunity very often, or hasn't so far in a while, I'm going to say it's Iowa State. I think it. You can go so far as to say if they win at Texas Tech tomorrow, which is right on the edge of being ranked, or they are ranked 24-25, not on all the polls, but a couple of them. If they win that game, they are a good team. You can say that they're a good team. You can make a definitive point about Iowa State in that they've gotten over hump. They are a good team. Still have a lot of work to do, but if they win this game tomorrow, you can make a decision about them. They have worked something out. They have proven something. This is not something where their back is against the wall. They have nothing to lose like Oklahoma. This isn't a pouring down rain game against a crap team like KU. This is against a good team on the road. They are expecting you to play well. They're preparing hard for you. If they beat that, if they win this game, they have proven something. I think it's Iowa State.
I think the difference for Iowa between a 7-8 win season and Iowa State between a 5-6 win season, it's much bigger at Iowa State. So for me, this one victory would be bigger for Iowa State.
Scott, last night all four major American sports leagues were in action. Ranked from 1 to 4, your level of interest in the NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB.
Ooh, I want you to ask me this question this time every year because it is starting to change. But right now, it's still NFL. Number two is NBA. And that's a recent last couple of years flip from baseball now being down to third. And then the NHL, I've never watched an entire period of hockey in my NHL hockey in my entire life. So I have to put that at four.
Is that at this time right now of the season or overall?
Overall, in general, right? And I know it's hard because of where we are. Like,
yeah, we're talking baseball playoffs or hockey very early season. It's
right.
Just
but
totally
no, so
different.
Just in general, kind of year round. If I were to ask you at any point in the year of the four leagues, rank them in your level of interest.
My very favorite team in the world is the Cardinals. So I'm going to say Major League Baseball, followed by the NHL, which is the Blues for me, followed by NFL, and then the NBA, which I think is definitely entertaining, and then golf is the other one, or soccer.
Not just those four.
Those four?
Yeah.
No golf or soccer going on in the world? Yesterday.
Well, these are the four major
there's
ones
probably
in America.
Soccer going on in the world, but not in America.
Yeah, isn't that weird, though? To me... That's I can't believe I just ranked it that way.
Right.
Major League Baseball, NHL, NFL, NBA. Nobody else will rank it that way.
I was thinking about this for myself, and I'm surprised.
Purely selfish.
NFL is number three for me. NBA and Major League Baseball are right there, 1 and 2. It's a really close 1 and 2, and NHL is a distant fourth. But, yeah, NFL, as much as I like football, it's number three for me.
To me, it comes down to the teams that I have the time to watch now. I can make the time to watch, and that's my teams.
As a break format here, just to say, so for me, I was actually ranking them, taking my team out of it. How interested am I watching a game that doesn't have my favorite team in it? Like the Cubs, I love watching the Cubs, but I won't watch another pitch of baseball the rest of the postseason.
Really?
I just don't care.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so excited for the World Series, regardless of who it is. I love playoff baseball. I like it even more when my team isn't in it because it's just fun to watch.
Well, maybe after we win a couple more World Series,
you and I
I'll
are in agreement
here.
Yeah, this World Series is going to be good.
All right, Andy, there were pork sandwiches left over from Van and Bonnie this morning, and while they smelled good, I have trouble eating food that doesn't fit within that typical fare for that meal. So, like, I don't eat a hamburger for breakfast. I don't eat pancakes for dinner. What's your meal mixing philosophy?
Well, see, I've worked in the television industry, and so all of that just goes flying out the window. You eat what you can when you can. You nourish yourself and just try to stay alive. If it is out there on the break room table, I will eat it. It doesn't matter. Anybody will. And with this goofy schedule, I am hungry for dinner at 6 a.m. I can breakfast at any time, lunch anytime. It doesn't matter to me. That wouldn't matter to me in the slightest. Not at all. I would eat it. I hope you did.
The only rule I kind of have here is that you have to eat the sweets after the savory.
Yes, that is true.
That's the only rule I really have.
No gum after you eat nuts. No nuts and gum.
Gum and nuts?
You can't have nuts and gum. The nuts get into the gum. You know what I mean? Like chewing gum, peanuts.
I'm just going to let you keep talking.
Forget it. Let's end this game.
I won! The poll is up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Andy or was it Scott?
All right, guys. I think we may actually have a winner here. We did #ToughTrip yesterday. We were talking about Murph and Heather's tough trip to Chicago. Here's Brett. All right, Andrew, you tell me if you think this is the best one yet. Brett, Bears at Vikes 5 years ago. Forecast was a trace of snow. Walked out of Metrodome to 20 inches. 9 hours home to Des Moines. Had to work the next morning.
That's terrible.
#ToughTrip. That is absolutely horrible. Hawkeye Grant drove overnight in a $400 van with 8 people to the Alamo Bowl. Painted the van black and gold to look like the A-team. So they did the best they could, but still, you're in a $400 van. In high school, rode 2.5 hours on a bus to the UNI Dome for a track, the Unidome, for a track meet on Friday of spring break. Turns out we were a week early, says Rob. #ToughTrip. Love that stuff. Hour number two of the show coming up next. Trending Iowa, a stupid quickie poll, and the return of Murph. It's Murph and Andy.